You'll need to go back in your notes just a little bit. Remember, we started, ended up about in the middle of where we were at. I really appreciated what Jocelyn had to say, and really what she was talking about is specific application of exactly what we're talking about here. In fact, the section that we're on now, she talked about the fact that we are at the core worshiping beings, and that's what we talked about right before we ended up, wrapped up this morning. We're social beings in our relationships to others. We're going to be talking about our rational design, how God designed us as rational beings to think His thoughts after Him. She certainly taught about that. She certainly taught about we are volitional beings and how God designed us to make choices and pursue purposes that glorify Him. She certainly talked about that we are emotional beings and really highlighted well that we are physical beings. So what we're doing is giving that global picture and background that you can develop just like Jocelyn has done for specific issues. By the way, what we're covering, if you look up here for a minute, and about this much of your notes is about 150 pages in Soul Physician. So you can imagine why it takes us at the seminary level 60 hours to go through this. We're introducing the concepts so you can think through how do I develop a biblical understanding of what it means to be an image bearer. So we talked about the fact that we're relational beings. Sometimes when I talk about relational, rational, volitional, emotional, and physical, people say, well, wait a second, what about spiritual? Well, remember, we're relational, spiritual, worshiping beings. We're relational, social, worshiping beings. So when I talk about relational, I mean at the core, we are spiritual, worshiping beings. Now, we've talked about that relational part. Now, as you see on the screen here, we are rational beings. Of course, we're talking about original design. Some of us, maybe with teenage kids, wonder about rational and teenagers. Sometimes spouses wonder about rational and husband. But as in terms of God's design, and notice, we're designed to think wisely. As the Puritans and Reformers used to say, we were designed to think God's thoughts after Him. Out of many verses we could have put there, of course, Romans 12, 1 to 2 talks about renewing our minds. In fact, the word for mind is not just thought, but our mindset. In Soul Physicians, we talk a lot about our mindset. Jocelyn talked about how we habituate our bodies. We habituate our minds so that our minds are set in a certain direction. God originally designed our minds to be set on glorifying Him and pursuing Him, thinking His thoughts after Him. I have a picture there of Man of La Mancha. And you may wonder, well, where does that fit in? I don't know. It just was a nice picture. No, I think it fits in somewhere. When my son was a senior in high school, the four of us, my wife, son, and daughter, took a trip to New York City for a couple days, and we saw our first and, to date, only Broadway play, and we saw The Man of La Mancha. Of course, from that play is and musical is the song, I Dream the Impossible Dream, which when you hear it out of context, you know, what does it really mean? But the story itself, Don Quixote, is a little off, if you will, in how he perceives life, but in the end, he's perceiving life more sanely than anyone else. Dulcinea is the prostitute who Don Quixote sees what? As his princess. And by the way, spoiler alert, if you're going to see it, cover your ears because I'm going to tell you how it ends at this point. One of the last scenes of the movie, he dies giving his life to save Dulcinea's life. And at the end, she's finally able to see herself, and it was remarkable how Jocelyn talked about it, from somebody who's been promiscuous and been involved in prostitution to someone who is now once again a virgin in God's sight. And she began to see herself, Dulcinea, as a princess that Don Quixote saw her to be. We were designed originally to look at life like that, to look at life with spiritual eyes, with faith eyes, with grace eyes. Again, to think God's thoughts after Him. And recall what we're doing in terms of image bearers and understanding people. What's our target? What was original healthy image bearing to be like? It was to be people who think with spiritual eyes, who look at life from God's perspective. God designed us as rational beings to think wisely. God also designed us as volitional beings. He designed us to choose courageously. Now, of the different terms, volitional may be one that some people are less familiar with, from the Latin volare, which is simply will. If you look in the Old and New Testament, there's so much discussion in both Testaments about will. And we have the Joshua 24:15 passage there. And Jocelyn read from several passages in Deuteronomy that have the same emphasis. Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then what? Then choose for yourself this day, or the King James, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the God of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God gave us the ability to choose. Obviously, with the fall and the entrance of sin, we have turned to rebel against God. But in our original nature, we had the ability to choose. And notice how we put it, to choose courageously. It goes back to that concept to relate sacrificially. You see the image there of some of the rescue workers with 911 and the movie Braveheart, William Wallace. Again, when I illustrate for movies, not necessarily everything in the movie is necessarily illustrative of godly principles. It's a violent movie in many ways. Again, spoiler alert, but if you remember the end of the movie, William Wallace is being tortured, and all he has to do is recant. And he starts to whisper something, and his torturer leans down to hear, and instead of whispering any repentance for his fighting against Longshanks, he does what? He screams out, "Freedom!" And as the story is told, his choice, which of course led to his being tortured to death, his choice to give up his life led his people, Scotland, to finally come together and fight against the evil King Longshanks. We were designed to choose courageously, to follow purposes. What I talk about in Soul Physicians as pathways. Again, the idea is not just that we have a belief, but we have a mindset. Not just that we have a choice, but we habituate that choice in pathways, a rut that can either go away from God or can move toward God. So we need to think in our development of working with people, not just the behaviors, but what is a purposeful pathway, the motivation and choices that they're following. The target is unselfish purposes and pathways. And then we are also designed as emotional beings. I mentioned briefly last night that sometimes in biblical counseling, this becomes something of the black sheep of the image-bearing family, as if somehow, well, that's attack on, or that's something that happened after the fall. God is an emotional being. God has emotion. We can grieve the Spirit. Jesus wept. And we are in the image of God, and we need to think through and develop more comprehensively, more robustly in biblical counseling, in understanding of emotions. What I call, again, mood state. Not only working with people to change a particular emotion or how they respond to a feeling, but what is their patterns of responding to moods and managing their moods. The way I think about it, and it's much more complex than this, but we have three broad options with our emotions. We can stuff them, and frankly, a lot of us do that. We can use them, what, as spears to attack others, or we can soothe our soul and our Savior. And that's really what we need to learn to do in our lives with our emotions and moods and the people we're ministering to. Help them to move away from using emotions as spears, from stuffing their emotions, but to be like, as we have a picture here of a gospel choir. You know, I wrote a book on the history of the black church and ministering to one another. And chapter 7 of that book is on the spirituals. What's amazing within even one line of an African-American spiritual is you can see this candor about pain, and right in that same line, you can see hope and trust in God. I think a gospel choir, the spirituals, and really the Psalms, picture for us this robust experiencing of our emotions. We were designed to feel deeply. Somehow, again, even saying that, like, some, we weren't designed that way, because we tend to use our deep feelings in the wrong way. Think about the Psalms. I remember years ago hearing Michael Card say that numerically there are more Psalms of complaint and lament than there are Psalms of thanksgiving and praise. I didn't believe him. So being a good Berean, I went through 150 Psalms, and obviously depending on how you categorize them. But when I was done, I ended up agreeing with Michael Card. And of course, many have called the Psalms our emotional manual. You want to learn how to handle the ups of life with thanksgiving and praise? Go to the Psalms. You want to learn how to handle the suffering of life? Turn to the Psalms, the lament and the complaint Psalms. We need to think through that we were designed to experience life and to feel deeply. That's not a bad thing. Help our counselees to learn how to manage their moods, how to soothe their soul in their Savior. And then Jocelyn did a good job of just briefly introducing to us that we are also physical beings. We are designed, and she did a good job highlighting the Romans 6:12-13 and following passage. We were designed to live fully. And of course, we can go either way. a picture there of Samson. We know Samson used his body, his physical strength given by God, in godly ways, and he used his body.